You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Cyber attack worries mount with international tensions over North Korea. France's first round presidential elections conclude with two outsiders headed for the finals. WikiLeaks and Shadow Brokers leaks find their way into the criminal wild. The U.S. shows renewed interest in prosecuting WikiLeaks' Assange. Lockheed ransomware is back from the dead. More Canadian pharma spam. Selesnev gets 27 years for carding. And notes on some less than fully successful criminals. I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, April 24th, 2017. Concerns about cyber attack, as usual, follow in the train of rising international tension. This can be seen currently as U.S. worry about North Korean hacking prompts conversations about U.S. vulnerability to cyber attacks directed by Pyongyang. Kaspersky has been reminding the world that the Lazarus Group, implicated most famously in the partially successful funds transfer fraud committed against the Bangladesh Bank in February 2016, is connected to the North Korean regime by strong circumstantial evidence. The U.S. has also accused Pyongyang of the November 2014 Sony Pictures hack. While the Kim regime's recent talk has been decidedly kinetic, with much lurid propaganda involving promised missile strikes and widespread nuclear devastation, delivered for the most part in the characteristic model airplane aesthetic of Zhoush culture, that country's missiles are regionally dangerous but not yet capable of the promised havoc. Cyber attack is thought much more likely. A study HP conducted in 2014 remains a good guide to North Korean capabilities. The report estimated the size of North Korea's offensive cyber force as some 6,000 personnel, some of whom operate under clandestine illegal cover in foreign countries, China among them. Infrastructure targets, including well-defended financial networks and arguably more vulnerable power grids, are thought to be at risk. Small and unrelated power outages last week in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are being talked about as cautionary examples. The disruptions all appear to have had accidental non-cyber causes, but they have underscored potential vulnerabilities in the grid. China's government is none too happy about North Korean behavior either, but their reaction is a complex one. An embargo on North Korean coal exports, but also unhappiness over South Korean efforts to build up defenses against missile attack. China is specifically concerned, according to analysts at security company FireEye, about South Korea's deployment of missile defenses in the form of the Terminal High Altitude Air Defense, or THAAD, system. The PLA has targeted its cyber espionage assets accordingly. The first round of France's presidential election concluded yesterday. The runoff will be between Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen, both outsiders, both regarded as populists. No word yet on whether the feared foreign influence operations appeared in this election, but the finals will be watched closely. WikiLeaks' release of alleged CIA cyber espionage tools in Vault 7 continues to prompt concerns over the risk all enterprises face when such tools hit the wild. Similar concerns surround the presumably independent release by the shadow brokers of what the group claims are NSA tools. One of those, the Double Pulsar backdoor, affects large numbers of unpatched Windows machines worldwide, 36,000 according to estimates by security firm Below Zero Day. Countercept has released a tool that promises to determine whether a system has the Double Pulsar implant, and of course, users are advised to patch their systems. U.S. investigations of the apparent leaks proceed, but without much public comment about progress. The U.S. Justice Department has taken a renewed interest in indicting and prosecuting WikiLeaks' Julian Assange, still resident in Ecuador's London embassy. How he might be charged is still unclear. Assange's attorneys position their client as a journalist and argue that his prosecution would be tantamount to an attack on press freedom. A former official who worked on the matter during the previous U.S. administration told Foreign Policy that, quote, "The problem with the investigation was finding a case that you could bring against Julian Assange that wouldn't also apply to reporters from every major U.S. media outlet," end quote. Mr. Assange, it's worth noting, has taken refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy to avoid extradition to Sweden on charges unrelated to WikiLeaks. Locky ransomware, recently given up for dead, is back. The Revenant malware is being distributed by the newly active Nikkors botnet. Experts agree that regular secure backup of files is the best thing you can do to protect yourself from the effects of a ransomware attack. You'll be inconvenienced, but you won't lose irreplaceable data. Google has booted SMS Vova spyware from the Play Store. SMS Vova cloaked itself inside a bogus system update app that promised users that it would keep their Android devices up to date. Researchers at security company Zscaler say that between 1 and 5 million users downloaded the app over the past 3 years. SMS Vova was particularly interested in harvesting location data. Researchers at security company Encapsula reported finding a large and evasive spam campaign hawking counterfeit pharmaceuticals, the usual discount Viagra come-on. More than 80,000 unique IP addresses are serving the spam. It's a large criminal campaign, the latest iteration of the Canadian pharmacy scam, long pursued by organized gangs, most of which appear to be headquartered in Russia and Ukraine. A U.S. court at the end of last week handed down the stiffest sentence on record, 27 years, to Roman Valerievich Seleznev, Russian carter and son of Valery Seleznev, an influential member of Russia's Duma. Seleznev was arrested while on holiday in the Maldives in 2014, extradited via Guam to Seattle, and convicted in August 2016. In mitigation, he unsuccessfully pleaded a difficult Vladivostok life, the details of which do indeed sound sad, his mother's death to alcohol poisoning, a bombing, an unpleasant divorce. Still, he had been something of a princeling. The Russian government, for example, took sufficient notice of his arrest to mount an ultimately unsuccessful campaign denouncing it as kidnapping. And the U.S. court apparently was more moved by the damage Seleznev's carding worked. Many of his targets were small businesses, at least some of which were driven into bankruptcy by Seleznev's crimes. Two more stories of crime and punishment are worth mentioning, neither one a case of criminal genius at work. In one, a guy stealing smartphones at the Coachella Festival apparently forgot about Find My iPhone. He had about 100 stolen devices in his backpack when he was collared. And in New York, it's come to light that the FBI, earlier this month, arrested an IT engineer on Wall Street for hacking into his employer's servers. The feds think he was stealing proprietary source code. The gentleman, under official suspicion, said he was worried about his job and so was looking into people's emails to see if he was about to be fired. fired he was, the very act taken to avert his fate, working to bring that fate about. It's like Dumb and Dumber, only written by Sophocles.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And joining me once again is Emily Wilson. She's the Director of Analysis at Terbium Labs. Emily, you know, we had this story not too long ago about the emergency alert sirens in Dallas being set off. And it turns out this was not so much a cyber connectivity issue or anything like that. It was these sirens are triggered by an RF signal, a radio signal, and someone took advantage of the fact that these systems respond to those RF signals in the clear. There's really no protection against them. But you wanted to make the point, it brings up a good point that some people are out there to do things sort of for the spectacle of it, and that can have some unintended consequences.
Absolutely. You know, in this case, you know, originally in the news, right, we saw, you know, people referencing a hack, as you described, right? So the immediate assumption there is something is wrong with, you know, someone has a laptop somewhere that they shouldn't, or is there something wrong with the software?
Right. But it's interesting in this Dallas case that, you know, I think it's fair to suppose that this whoever did it may have been just doing it for the laughs or to sort of prove a point that they could do it. But there were some consequences. The 911 systems were overloaded for a period of time. And so people who had other types of emergencies may not have been able to get the services they get. And I suspect that may have been an unintended consequence of the person who did this.
Sure. And I think you also saw a range of reactions from people in Dallas, right? I'm sure no one was happy it was happening, but you saw some combination of people being confused or making jokes to people being genuinely concerned, right? People being afraid, is this a terrorist attack? Is there something going on? Am I safe? And so I think, you know, these spectacles can definitely have unintended consequences. The same thing, you know, when we see certain types of data showing up, right, or certain types of exploits being traded around. You know, it's the step beyond vandalism. Sometimes people really want to make a splash. And you think about something like the medical records being dumped after the Olympics from the World Anti-Doping Agency, right? Big spectacle, big conversation, but now you have personal information out there about all of these athletes that they can't change. It's not like a credit card. You can't reissue it. The spectacle is going to cause a lifelong problem for some of these people.
So the motivation of the people releasing those records may have been as simple as, oh yeah, watch this, without really thinking through or considering the long-term consequences for all the people who are, you know, innocent bystanders of a drive-by attack.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we're all wondering now, are we going to see copycats of this Dallas-style siren fiasco? Are we going to see people poking at other things? What else can I do with radio frequencies? And maybe, hopefully, I suppose, this will have kind of far-reaching impacts on conversations about things we never thought we'd need to encrypt.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, these siren systems have been out there for 50 years or more, and this hasn't been a problem. And now everybody knows about it and knows how to do it. Does that mean they have, you know, steps will have to be taken to lock them down?
Right. And what else, right, besides the sirens? What else could be a problem? And how do we begin to, you know, think about this and allocate these resources? You know, what is this going to mean for, you know, other cities, smaller cities? You know, as you mentioned, right, when the 911 system shuts down, then you're not just talking about an annoying noise. You're talking about potentially life and death situations because someone wanted to have fun.
Right. All right. Emily Wilson, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.